Well, we pay out what the taboo is against discussing the health of our families in this country. Adam has some thoughts on pizza. Take some calls and talk a little detail about eyewitnesses.
First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Hey guys, Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man?
What is a man?
Are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, Carl.
No. I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on a chest, I gotta remember that, Dr. Drew, board of five, six, and special,
mortified, not just mortified, board position. Certified, but mortified.
Special person. What's going on there, Drewski?
So a couple things. You were going to pay out why we have the taboo against discussing our unhealthy family systems. And I understand you had some feelings on pizza, too.
Oh, I got pizza feelings. All right.
Yeah.
Couple thoughts. One is we don't want to get involved with the families as it pertains to shootings and crimes and violence and all that kind of stuff, because it always takes a turn for the ethnic, or oftentimes takes an ethnicity turn, because blacks are 70%, you know, out of wedlock, and no politician wants to get into any kind of criticism of blacks or black families, and it'll eventually get there. So they don't want to begin the journey, because it'll end with why is the black population 70%? But you know, white is, I don't know, 50%. Whatever the lowest out of wedlock it is the group that's doing the best, right? So, you know, probably Japanese, Indian, whatever. You can follow it down the line. It pretty much follows a linear line, which is have kids, stay home and raise them, have successful kids that don't get involved with crime. That's pretty much it. So it's twofold. Politicians don't want to get there because at some point it's going to get into the black community and they don't want to go there. And then the second point is they don't get to control it. The politicians want to control you, and they want to control your family. So you should take your kids, and they shouldn't have school choice. These are Democrats. And you should have no school choice, and you should send them to a school that we create with a curriculum that we've okayed, and we're going to start crate training your kids. That's how we're going to do it.
We want to be the family.
We will. We are the family. It takes a village. So if there's school shootings, or there's inner city shootings, or whatever it is, look at us. We're going to legislate this one out of existence. So we're going to pass rules and we're going to do things. Now, there's two parts. Well, you ask the Democrats, why are there school shootings? There's two answers. One is there's guns. We got to go to work on that. The other is these people are being indoctrinated on the internet. So we gotta control that. We gotta fix the messaging on the internet, right? So there's two key issues, according to Democrats, as it pertains to school shootings, gun violence, whatever it is. A, most everything is white supremacy, so we're going to go to work on that. But if it's a situation where a Mexican kid shot up younger Mexican kids, well, we're going to have trouble with the white supremacy angle on that one. But we got alternative angles. We have gun control. We'll work on that. And then we're going to work on controlling the internet. Because we can't let, you know, dangerous information and disinformation and misinformation go out there. Now, as far as the families go, well, neither here nor there, because we can't really control that. And that's kind of what you do at home. So we're not that interested in that. But if you send them to our schools young enough, we can send a message to them and get them tuned up. So that's why they're not interested in the family. They don't. What? How do you tax the family? You know what I mean? Why do we need you?
Right.
This is my family. What do we need you for, politician? So it's never. It's only things you need them for, right?
You know what's interesting? I saw a little presentation about borders. You know, we were talking a couple of shows ago about the border issue. And one of the interesting phenomenon is that the United States had a completely open immigration policy till like 1914. Now, provided you weren't Asian, they just completely opened the doors. And what happened in the early part of the 20th century is we developed a welfare system and a welfare state. And when people started coming across the border in order to be a part of the welfare system, that seemed to correlate with when the greatest resistance to immigration started to kick up. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing when people came here to work. It's another thing when they came to get on the government dole.
Right. And the government dole just hurts people, again, generationally. And, you know,
pizza.
Pizza. I feel with pizza, I have wishes for pizza. And I know everyone has pizza wishes, but there's a couple things. One is, get thin crust pizza. It's the best fucking pizza, and it's less carbs. And I've said this 1 million times. If you're going to get Papa John's or Domino's or whatever the Pizza Hut, if you're going to get some chain brand, you know, big brand box store pizza, get the thin crust. You'll be much happier with the product. And the people say, why? Yeah. Well, the answer is, if you're talking about Domino's pizza and you go, all right, we can all argue that that's not Joe's pizza in the village of New York or John's or whatever it is. All right. Makes a great slice. Fine. The tomato sauce is essentially the tomato sauce. It's just tomato sauce. You know what I mean? Mozzarella cheese. That's mozzarella cheese. You want to get onions or olives or pepperoni or whatever. It's basic standard fare stuff. It's the crust. That's where they fuck up. And when you get thin crust, there's just much less for them to fuck up. It's fine. It's completely fine. You can go to Domino's and get all the thin crust you want. You'll be perfectly satisfied with it. You get the thick crust. Now we have an issue. And people...
How about the cheese stuffed crust?
I just say, just get thin crust. Just get the New York style. Just get the big New York style. That's all I say. And then we just ordered pizza here. And it's, you know, three, you know, or five thin crust and five regular crust. And then when I go back, all the thin crust is gone. All of it's gone. And all that's left is the thick,
the
medium
pie,
stuff.
Adam.
Right.
It's that's a pizza all, pie.
That's all that's left. That's all that's left. And so here's my point. The next time pizza's ordered, this is how we shall do it again. Because that's right. Yeah. Look, there's a donut version of this. They get the baker's dozen of donuts. They got the one that's red, has red, white, and blue jimmies on it and orange, whatever. Mm-hmm. And everyone just eats all the old fashioned ones and the buttermilk ones. And those are left. And I say, don't get them. Just don't get them. Don't do it anymore. And they go, all right. And the next time you do donuts, you get three Three with the red, white, and blue sprinkles, three old-fashioned. There's a bagel version. There's just, it's a weird thing. It never ends. And there is no coaching, and there's no tuning, and there's just, I got five thin crust and five regular crust.
The donut one is weird to me, because why does the red, white, and blue sprinkle even exist? I mean, if you ask for a dozen donuts, kids, they'll stuff one of those in there.
For kids.
Why do they make them? Forget why do you buy them. Why do they make them?
I don't. There's a whole, I think it's a group. Riddle me this. I think it's a group of adults that eat like kids, and the adults that eat like kids love carbs. They want thick and chewy. You know what I mean? They want, it's like when we just ordered Langer's Deli over here. There's a great pastrami sandwich. Half the people here order it on a big, thick roll. They don't get it. They don't get it on the rye bread. They get a big, thick, chewy roll. Because it's like, that's what kids would like, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't kids like that? Emmy, what is the roll to rye ratio on the Langer's deli sandwich here?
It's a good amount, but I will note that sourdough roll is pretty delicious. Like, it's got buttering all over it.
Oh, he's pushing back at him.
I know, but it's chewy. It's what kids do. Here's what I'm saying. It is a sandwich. It has its componentry. It's been designed in the sandwich lab to have this much of this and that much of that. The roll is fine, but not as it pertains to the design of this sandwich, which needs to be executed. That's what I'm saying. I have nothing against the roll in general.
Right. The sourdough roll is good. We're not disputing that.
Right.
It doesn't belong in the Langer's pastrami.
That's what I'm saying. But what do kids like? Kids like chewy and doughy and more. You know what I mean? They're not
more.
Finesse people. All right. Let's see. Somebody has a question about me and Steve Hilton's show from 2 years ago. Nick, 35, Texas.
Mijo.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam. What? I was just wanting to talk to you about your appearance on Steve Hilton, where you made that analogy of restaurants and cigarettes to the NRA.
Yeah.
Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, I do remember doing that. Yeah.
Okay. Like, now that all these people want to do these gun grab laws and stuff, obviously we saw that the laws don't work. And everybody's wanting to grab your guns. And obviously we saw none of that worked, and they're going to call us crazy right-wing people wanting to keep our guns, but we know they're just going to keep coming. Like, the progressive movement just doesn't stop, and nothing is going to do anything. So I just wanted to say that was just an excellent reference to why nobody wants to let them make any more laws, because nothing is going to change anything.
Yes.
Tell us about this, Adam. The ref is outlawing cigarettes in a restaurant.
Thanks, Nick.
First.
What's that?
What was the analogy about the restaurant and cigarettes?
It's an analogy. It's a joke that I do sometimes in my stand-up. It's basically the progressive movement. It doesn't stop, you know, and just kind of kind of moves forward. And I said, I said, you got to look at smokers. You know what I mean? Smokers was when we grew up, smoke wherever you want. Who cares? In a restaurant, just sit wherever you want and smoke. And then the progressive movement people said, hey, you need a smoking section. We'll have a smoking section for you to move to. And then everyone moved to the smoking section. And then that lasted 10 minutes. And they said, you know, smoke at the bar. You can smoke at the bar. Remember that? Remember those days?
Yep.
Yeah, go watch the game. Yep. Smoke at the bar. And then the smokers left the smoking. So there's no more smoking section. They go smoke at the bar. And then they smoked at the bar, and then they said, nah, no more smoking at the bar. And they said, go out to the patio. And the smokers went out to the patio, and then they said, no smoking at the patio. And then they said, go out front. Go stand on the sidewalk and smoke. And the smokers went out to the sidewalk, and they said, you're standing too close to the door. You got to move it.
Yeah.
Move it down the street. And they moved it down, and then they went to the park, and then they said, no smoking at the park. And then the smokers were like, we'll vape. And they're like, yeah, well, we're coming after that shit too.
And let's remember, this really started, really played out in California.
Right. So
that's where it got going.
The NRA analogy is the NRA understands who they're dealing with, right?
Right.
They don't
stop. Right.
You think they're going to stop at the smoking section? They don't stop.
Right.
They will keep going. And that's why the NRA fights with them over things that sound reasonable, right? Because a smoking section sounds reasonable. But a smoking section leads you into standing out in the street smoking while your friends are in eating, right? I mean, that's where it leads. It never starts there, and then there's never any discussion about us going there. There's just something reasonable. And the NRA, for better or for worse, I think they've seen how it plays out. And that's why they do what they do.
Pretty crazy.
How do taxes work? How do taxes work?
Listen, but what's interesting to me about the tobacco thing is I would wish that they would just have been up front at the beginning is we need to get rid of smoking, period.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do whatever we have to do to get people to stop smoking.
Right.
Okay, that's honest enough.
Yeah.
But this kind of creeping laws and slowly controlling every element of where you do this and what you do, that's what gets a little weird, creepy.
Yeah. So how do taxes work, Drew?
We have no income tax, and then we have only an income tax for a certain brackets, and then we have income tax for everybody, and then it just keeps going. Taxes just keep going.
Right.
How about the look at the gas tax? No big deal. Just for a couple months, couple years, we're going to just put a little tax on the gasoline.
Yeah. Until we fix the roads.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pardon me for being a little suspicious when you just want to do something.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you ever stop.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any sense, especially on the Democratic side. When do you ever stop anything? I mean, you come up with a new thing to tax every 10 minutes, but when do you repeal anything? When do you let people keep more of what they earn? I know it's always a tax break for the middle class. It isn't. Yes, it's the nature of what you do. You're a beaver on top of the fucking Sears Tower looking for logs so you can build a dam because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't trust you. That's what I'm saying. And neither is the NRA.
Mm.
That's what they're saying. And I think it's based on something. I think it's based on you guys never stopping legislating. That's all. And also, you would like no one to ever own a gun in this country. You would like that. So,
right.
And look, maybe I would too. But what I'm saying is that's the direction you're going. Why would we believe you would stop at whatever it is you say you're going to stop at?
Yeah.
Is there any indicator to think that you stop at anything?
No.
Involving the government and the overreach of government.
Building and safety.
Yes. They started with, two codes and now there's 5,000 codes. And next year, it's the sign on the beach about what you can't do. Do they ever remove anything from the sign or they just add one more thing you can't do every year to that sign on the beach?
Yep.
That's all they do. All right, let me tell you about...
You need to have somebody... Okay, go ahead.
Alto IRA, have an account with Coinbase, own Bitcoin, Ethereum, or any other cryptocurrency. It's an exciting investment opportunity. But what about the taxes? We're just talking about that. With an Alto Crypto IRA, you can trade crypto like Bitcoin and avoid or defer the taxes. Alto Crypto IRA is an easy way to get crypto into an IRA. Create an account in just a few minutes. Invest with as little as $10. No setup charges. Secure trading 24/7 through Alto's integration with Coinbase. 150 plus coins available, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Cardano. Multiple ways to fund your account, make a cash contribution, transfer cash from an existing IRA, or roll over an old 401k. It's Alto. Am I right, Gary?
Ready to take your investments to the next level? Diversify like the pros and trade without tax headaches. Open an Alto crypto IRA with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/ADS. That's altoira.com/ADS. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. Go to altoira.com/ADS.
All right. Let's see. Take a quick break. Be back right after this. All right, Drew, what were you going to say?
Do we have any calls there? Because yeah. I have something else I want to bring up. Want to do a call?
I don't know. You have something else you want to bring up?
Yeah, I do. Go ahead. I had thoughts about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I talked about it sort of, offline, but I don't think we've really dug in much on the show. And I just think, they have both done us a public service. I really do.
Yeah.
On multiple levels. One is starting to hold people accountable for what they put in print. That's something that I kind of admire when people get, take that on. Mm-hmm. And both Amber Heard and Johnny Depp have very severe problems, mm-hmm. and they're on full display. Mm-hmm. And I think, Johnny has, severe alcoholism and addiction and all that goes with that and the horrible behaviors that come along. But that her thing is something that I've been seeing running amok for many, many years. And it's got a lot.
Well, Drew froze up. So maybe I'll punch up the phone. Joe, 52, San Jose.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Hi, Guy.
one quick question and one statement. You and Dr. Drew had spoken about a fellow who was suffering from his allergy medicine causing his itching. I just went through the same thing where I thought it was latex and cotton, and for years my father, a pediatrician, told me that I just had to avoid it. That said, started taking Allegra, and my itchy went away. No allergies to latex. That said, my question is solely to Dr. Drew, or if he's got on to you. At this age, what is the best medicine to take for heartburn? And I'll leave it to you.
Dr. Drew's back up. 52, best heartburn medication, Drew.
Well, there's three sort of things you can do. I mean, the proton pump inhibitors like Prilosec or Nexium, these are the most powerful inhibitors of acid production by the stomach. But if you're having, first of all, have you had an endoscopy to see why you're having this?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
I had a colonoscopy last year and it was totally clear and I haven't seen anything remarkable.
And you're having reflux now and you can always try over-the-counter medication. If it goes away, you have your answer. But if it doesn't go away, look, esophageal cancer is alive and well today with HPV and chronic reflux and things. And so if persistent symptoms need to be checked out. But anyway, the proton pump inhibitors are your most powerful. You can take, more than the sort of over-the-counter. You can talk to your doctor about taking, 20 or 40 milligrams. Pepcid and Zantac, I like Pepcid and the H2 inhibitors, the H2 antagonists, which is sort of a histamine blockade that also blocks acid production. And then there's just antacids and Gaviscon is sort of your best bet that way. But you probably, for immediate relief, you probably want to get the proton pump inhibitors, which is Prilosec, that class, and some Gaviscon. And you should, if it's just plain old reflex, you should be better really fast.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
What is, Drew, why do so many people have this? Have they always had it? Reflux, tums, indigestion. I feel like, and again, I've never taken any of these things ever, so I'm befuddled. I'm sort of confused why they're so ubiquitous and everyone is reaching for them all the time.
Yep.
Has our diet changed? Is it the flora and the fauna? Like, what's going on?
Well, I'm going to say a multiplicity of factors. When you're overweight, which a lot of us are, it puts pressure on the stomach and that pushes acid back into the esophagus.
Oh, okay.
So there's
some of it's just mechanical.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mechanical. But listen to this. I was just thinking about when I talked to this, when we were talking to this guy, there is a lot of sort of use, both recreational and therapeutic use, of PDE5 inhibitors like Viagra. And one of the side effects of those medicines is it loosens the valve between the stomach and the esophagus. So the acid splashes up into the esophagus and burns it. So people are using a lot of those medications and then not thinking about this side effect.
So it's that
interesting.
Weight. Is it the concentration of the food? Is that
Viagra?
Viagra, and then is there flora fauna part of this? Like people are allergic
not,
to things?
Not really. I mean, you know, H. pylori figures into it, but it's a separate thing, and it's not a new thing.
Okay, because these things were a thing when I was growing up, but not really. I mean, my dad didn't buy stuff, but he probably would have bought Tums if he needed Tums, or
yeah.
My mom would have, my stepdad, what are my grandparents? I've looked in a million medicine cabinets when I was a kid. Like I never saw any of this stuff. And I never heard them complain
about
it.
They didn't have it.
They didn't have it. They kind of had Tums and things like that. But I never heard anyone go, I can't eat spaghetti sauce. Got too much acid in it. They just ate whatever was.
There's a lot more peptic ulcer talk back in those days.
Yes.
I have an ulcer.
Yes.
Peptic ulcer. It was on TV, too, a lot of ulcer talk. And some of that was just esophagitis.
People used to drink milk for their ulcer.
Yeah.
Did that do anything for an ulcer?
No.
It was like they drank it like, oh, I got to cool my ulcer down with a glass of cold milk, right?
Yeah. It's completely silly.
It had nothing to do with anything?
No, nothing.
Why wouldn't milk help an ulcer?
Well, to some extent, whether it's gastritis or esophagitis or ulcer, having food in your stomach gives you some relief. But this idea that the milk is coating, the fat is coating the ulcer and is protecting it. No.
You'll be glad.
Hey, did I finish my comments on Amber Heard?
No, you didn't.
Let me finish the one thing I wanted to say. And this is the part that I think is important, which is because I've seen people with her condition running amok in the legal system for decades. But people look at her and they think she's lying. She is not lying. People with her condition literally perceive things differently than what actually happens. They distort everything and lay down highly distorted memories of events. And so, they have a lot of other characteristics that are, you know, all good, all bad thinking, and a lot of unregulated rage and hostility. But the distortions, this idea that, and I'm not saying that it's, they're prone to making accusations that are, you know, sort of inappropriate. They just distort everything that happens. And you can kind of see it on display in the courtroom in this case. And it's really important. People feel crazy themselves when they're involved with people like this, because all of a sudden they'll hear them, you know, being accused of something or that something happened that didn't happen. They believe it. The Amber Heard condition, the borderline personality, they absolutely lay down a memory that perceives what happened that did not happen.
Well, I agree.
About a lot of things.
I agree. And I don't think people really understand that nuanced aspect of it. And I'm with you. And, you know, it's so funny. Like, I grew up living in a world where there was an eyewitness to the bank account, to the bank robbery. And the elderly woman would stand up and go, "Him, he did it," you know, and then everyone in the courtroom would, "Oh," you know, like that's as much as you needed. Just an elderly woman, like, at night pointing out that he was this. And the story wasn't, you know, she had cataracts. The story was she eyewitnessed the murderer. You know what I mean? She. All right. So I now have zero faith in any of that shit anymore. I mean, people's
recollection or IDs,
or it's completely out. I don't trust anybody except for myself and Kevin Hench and like a few other people of like, what the fuck happened? I now believe them. I've had so many people say so many batshit crazy, never fucking happened things to me, recollections, counts. And then you said, it's like, I never said any of that. Yes, you did. You said that. You know, like,
Adam, that's normal people. That's people not with this condition that Amber Heard has. A friend of mine's an FBI agent, and he runs classes on eyewitness reporting. And when the class is getting together and going to the lecture hall, he has three masked perpetrators. Well, first he said he has a couple have an argument at one side of the room. Then he has two perpetrators come in the room and carry somebody off. And then he asks the room, what did you just see? And he says almost nobody gets the race, the hair color, the number of perpetrators. They get the number wrong. What happened? Like, nobody. And they're there to study eyewitness reporting.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, not surprising. But so everyone is nuts. I don't believe anyone anymore. Everyone says fucking crazy things. And they're willing to tell you, even if you were in the same room with them, when the shit didn't happen the way they said it happened. So there's a lot of that. It's basically, it's now to the point where if you are an accurate person who is semi-sane, you just get punished by a fucking crazy society that is no accurate rendition of whatever the fuck happened, and their bizarre recollections of it constantly. Now, you can talk about lapse in memories or accuracy or whatever, and that's fine. And I'm not going to condemn people for having a lack of memory, which is, geez, you know, remember I told you the address? I can't remember it. Or I can only remember two of the digits or whatever. Fine. That's up to you. I do not fault you. Here's the problem, Drew. Your lack of memory all tilts toward you. It all tilts toward, oh, no, I remember telling you. It's like, here's how it all, we're camping. Me and Emmy are camping, and now we're on top of Mount Pinos, and I pulled out, oh, I can't wait to eat our beans for supper, Emmy. So I pull out my can of beans, and then I go, oh, geez, where's the can opener? And then Emmy goes, I told you to bring the can opener. And I go, you said you had the can opener. And then he goes, I remember right where we were. I looked you in the eye, and I said, do not forget to bring the can opener. And I said, oh, I thought you said you had a can opener. No. Oh. I remember very clearly. This is the problem. It's not the I forgot the can opener. Anyone can forget the can opener. It's I forgot the can opener, and here's how my recollection of it. I remember putting a Post-it on your forehead saying can opener, and you were annoyed, and you swatted at my hand. This is the problem. Yep. It's everyone's recollection. Yep. It's not their recollection being I can't remember. It's their recollection of I remember and I was the hero in this play. Yep. I recollect. Yep. I recollect he put his hands on me and he pushed me down the stairs. And then I stood up and I said, I'm going to donate all the proceeds from Aquawoman to Marine Sanctuaries. And then he pushed me down the stairs again and called me ugly. You know, this is my recollection. I don't mind a recollection where people go, you know what? I don't really, I don't know. Right. I don't know.
I think maybe.
You will hear me say 1,000 times a day, I thought I told you to get the, no, you said you'd get the can opener. Oh, God. I must have fucked up.
The bean can opener.
Whatever. But I don't go, oh, no. I remember very clearly telling you to get that can opener. No. The problem, it's the narcissism of the recollection that's fucking everyone up. Everyone is so sure they're part in this thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the part. That's 100%. That's the dangerous part of this. If you wanted just to be neutral and go, I don't know. Hey, is ivermectin good for you or bad for COVID? I don't know.
No.
Talk to your doctor.
Never heard of it before.
Oh, no. This is horse paste. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the dangerous part, Drew.
Yes, 100%.
Is that Hunter Biden laptop real or Russian? I don't know. You should check.
Let's look into it.
Let's look into it. Steele dossier, real or fake? I don't know. We should find out. That this is the problem. The recollection mixed with how resolute you are and your knowing of what happened.
The resolution and the tilting. Resolute tilt.
What's the tilt part? The attack
towards
part?
You. Right. You're the star of the show, and you're the hero. And the tilt is your direction.
That's right. All right. Let me tell you about Just Work. Small business owners looking for an easier way to onboard and manage remote employees. Just Work makes it easy for you to start, run, and grow a business. And let me tell you how employees can onboard themselves in minutes. You can give them access to a national large group health insurance plans and handle payroll and PTO requests as well, all on one platform with a simple, intuitive online platform. Relieve some of the administration work you hate, like payroll, benefits, and guesswork. Take that guesswork out of the state-by-state employment and tax rules. Plus, JustWorks experts, 24/7 support for your team as well. So they're always there for you. JustWorks makes it simple to hire and manage remote employees across all 50 states. Am I right, Gary?
Find out how JustWorks can help your business by going to justworks.com. That's justworks.com for more info.
All right. Let's see. You can go to amcrola.com for live shows coming up everywhere. What do you got, Drew?
Go to drdrew.com for the pods and drdrew.tv for the streaming shows.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at GEICO.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.